We left off discussing some of the singers of creation. I don't remember exactly which point we're up to, but we'll try to pick up approximately from where we left off. I think we were last talking about who is obligated in the midst of Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah tells us in the third parak of Maseches Brachos that Kriya Shema is a classic mitzvah seseh shesman grama, and therefore women are paturos. That's not a great surprise. Should we encourage women to perform, to say Kriya Shema? So this is part of an age-old story about what I take is in general about mitzvah seseh shesman grama. So it's generally assumed that we'd like women to volunteer to do mitzvah seseh shesman grama. We think that's a good thing for women to volunteer to perform mitzvah seseh shesman grama. A few exceptions here and there that we frown upon. We mentioned that in the past. It's still in the highlights of ones that we don't like for technical reasons. But by and large, we do encourage women to say, to perform mitzvah seseh shesman grama as an eina mitzvah v'yoseh. And Kriya Shema is no less than that. Even more so, we shouldn't point out, there are certain mitzvahs, shesman grama, that it's really, really a nice thing to do. Women really, really should volunteer to do. And Kriya Shema actually is one of those mitzvahs, because after all, Kriya Shema, besides being a formal mitzvah, it's the Yisod HaYisod HaSemer HaMun, it's Kabbal Samach HaShemayim. So women have to have Kabbal Samach HaShemayim, the same as men do. So even though the technical mitzvah women have to us from, but the notion of Kabbal Samach HaShemayim is, of course, so critical to everything, so we would strongly encourage women to do it as well. As we've already mentioned many times, whenever you have a mitzvah seseh shesman grama that involves a bracha, that becomes a little bit more complicated. Whether we should encourage women to be reciting brachas in these mitzvahs, that was a machlekes in Benetam and the Rambam, machlekes Bechav and the Ramon, machlekes Ashkenazi practice and Sephardi practice till this very day. So we as Ashkenazim have no problems with women reciting brachas and sukkah and lulav, and therefore we would have no qualms with women reciting the brachas Kriya Shema, even though they're technically exempt from them. We would probably assume that that's all right. The Sfaradim who follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch would not like women to be reciting Birchas Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yosef writes that he thinks that's not right. There are a lot of Sfaradi girls who go to Ashkenazi schools. When they grow up, they're taught to say the Birchas of Kriya Shema. He thinks that's not really in sync with Sfaradi tradition. But for Ashkenazim, that's okay. And for our wives and our sisters, our daughters, they all daven. They say Birchas Kriya Shema. We don't consider that to be a bracha l'batala, even though they're technically exempt from these brachas. Okay, so the starting point is that women are exempt from these mitzvahs. But again, it's a good thing, an appropriate thing for them to volunteer to say the Kriya Shema. The Mishnah says in Brachos in the third parak that Ketanim are also exempt from Kriya Shema. There's Machlekes Rashi and Tosis. How old a Katan are we talking about? So normally we know that until a child is bar mitzvah, he is exempt from all mitzvahs, min haTorah. But mid the Rabbanon, he's supposed to perform mitzvahs, b'toras chinuch. There is a Machlekes HaRishonim, whether that means that he personally is obligated mid the Rabbanon, or that means that the father is obligated to be mechanichim in the Rabbanon, Machlekes Rabban and others. But push comes to shove, a Katan is supposed to do mitzvahs mid the Rabbanon, supposed to sit in the Sukkah mid the Rabbanon, Shekelul mid the Rabbanon, Shofar, Matzah, Tzeth, mid the Rabbanon. So should we say that he's supposed to say Kriya Shema also mid the Rabbanon? So Rashi argues that not. Rashi says that Chazal never instituted the mitzvah of chinuch for Kriya Shema, because man, Kriya Shema is a tough thing to kind of regulate. That's man Kriya Shema, you got to get up early in the morning, although these days not so bad, it's close to 10 o'clock still. But many times during the year, you have to get up very, very early to say Kriya Shema properly. And therefore, Chazal didn't think it was practical to be mechanic children, and therefore, they never instituted chinuch for Kriya Shema. And Rabbi Natan disagrees and says it's not true, that they instituted Kriya Shema, they instituted chinuch for Kriya Shema. Once the child is a gil chinuch, once he basically understands what Shema is all about, he should be instructed to say Shema. That's what we try to do. We try to have our children recite Kriya Shema when they're old enough to daven Shachris Ma'ariv. So we try to encourage them, the young boys, they should be careful in the midst of Kriya Shema. We try to instruct them whenever they reach the age appropriate to say Kriya Shema, to say Kriya Shema bezmano. So again, the Ika Chiyav min HaTorah of Kriya Shema is on men, not on women, not on Ketanim. So any situations ever arise where a person happens to be potter from Kriya Shema on a temporary basis? So the answer is yes. The famous Mishnah that appears in the first parak of Brachas, Sugya in the end of the second parak of Masechet Sukkah, that's the Sugya of Eisik b'mitzvah potter min HaMitzvah. You could have a situation that arises where a person is busy doing another mitzvah. They started already doing another mitzvah, and now it comes time to say Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says they need not stop the mitzvah that they're doing. There is no need, there is no requirement for them to recite the Kriya Shema. How do we know that? Because we derive from a pasuk, "Pshivtcha beisecha v'lechtcha v'derech." V'lechtcha v'derech means when you're going your own way, when you're involved in your own activity. get up in the morning, I'm not doing any particular mitzvah at first, I have to stop what I'm doing and say Shema. But if I'm Balecha Shemaim, if I'm already Derech Shemaim, I'm already involved in some other great mitzvah, and Kriya Shema comes my way, I need not stop to say Kriya Shema. And this actually serves as the model for the entire din of Isaac Mitzvah Patra Mitzvah. So the very institution, the very source for this parish of Isaac Mitzvah Patra Mitzvah is actually derived from Kriya Shema. So this is a given, there's a din that Isaac Mitzvah is Patra Mitzvah. There is a big machlokes Rishonim, one of the parameters of this statement. There's a famous kasha that's asked by all the Rishonim. If you take Isaac Bar Mitzvah, Patra Bar Mitzvah, to its logical conclusion, so then you should never have to do any mitzvahs. I'm doing a mitzvah right now. I'm wearing tzitzis. The person's walking around wearing tefillin. People are doing a lot of mitzvahs. So once you're wearing tzitzis, once you're wearing tefillin, why do you have to do any other mitzvah? Well, the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama, Maseches Nedarim, the Gemara discusses, let's say I'm in the middle of doing Hashabbos Aveda. I just picked up a lost object for somebody, and I'm taking care of him with Tafel in the Aveda, and an Ani comes my way and asks for tzedakah, so I don't have to give him the tzedakah, because Isaac mitzvah part of the mitzvah. Once I'm doing the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda, so I'm part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Just as an aside, the post can discuss, how can I be part of the mitzvah of tzedakah? Isn't tzedakah involved a losa say also? When I don't give tzedakah, that's a violation of a law in the Torah. So Isaac mitzvah means, if I'm doing mitzvah A, I'm potter from other mitzvahs essay. There's no deal that say I'm doing a mitzvah. While I'm doing a mitzvah, I can eat chazer. As long as I'm doing a mitzvah, I can eat treif. That's ridiculous. Isaac mitzvah is potter in a mitzvah, not potter from isurim. So how can there be a din that Isaac mitzvah potter in a tzedakah, capable that I'm in violation of the yisur shabbam? So Rabbi Chon Masimin explains in Kev Shurim that the love of not giving tzedakah emanates from the essay. That means basically tzedakah is fundamentally mitzvah essay. Elohat. In addition to the mitzvah essay, the Torah tacks on a los essay. The Torah says if you're supposed to give tzedakah and you don't give it, so then you're over a love. But if you're not supposed to give in the first place because you're an Isaac for mitzvah, so then the essay doesn't speak to you. The essay doesn't speak to you. The mail of the love doesn't speak to you. So it's not that Isaac for mitzvah is a pater from the love. Isaac for mitzvah is a pater from an essay. And then once there's no essay, the mail there's no love. But I call part of the Gemara of the Farish that of being Isaac and Aveid, I don't have to give tzedakah. So come to Rishayim, Taisin the Ran, and ask, any and every time I'm wearing tzitzis, I don't have to give tzedakah. A new tour, I put on tzitzis in the morning, and I'm good to go for the whole day. Isaac be mitzvah. So why is that absurd? Why is that ridiculous? So as Machlaikis Taisin the Ran, what the answer to that question is. So Taisin writes, the clown of Isaac mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, was only said when it's Iyash L'Kayim Shneim, but it's impossible to do both. If I'm able to do both, so I'm able to do both. So therefore, just because I'm wearing tzitzis, that's not inhibiting me from giving tzedakah, so I have to give tzedakah. But I'm being Isaac and the Aveda, right now, I can't do both with the same hands. Right now, I'm taking care of the Aveda. If I don't care, if I stop the Aveda, that's going to interfere with my mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. So any time that the first mitzvah is going to be in this bottle, I'm not going to do the first mitzvah properly, then I'm part of the second mitzvah. But if I'm able to do both easily, so I stop one and do the other, go back to the first one. And the Ran disagrees. The Ran says, no, that Isaac mitzvah part of the mitzvah is a ptur across the board. Once you do the mitzvah, you don't have to make cheshbainus. The only thing is, look, the Ran, the din is Isaac mitzvah, not Mekayim mitzvah. The fact that I'm just merely fulfilling a mitzvah, that's not a point there. Isaac means there has to be a physical involvement in the mitzvah. So when I'm shaking out the Aveda, I'm taking care of the Aveda, I'm picking up the Aveda, I'm looking after the Aveda, when I'm physically involved in a Maisa mitzvah, that's called Isaac mitzvah. The person's wearing tzitzis, he's not Isaac b'mitzvah, he's a Mekayim mitzvah, he's not an Isaac b'mitzvah. And therefore, he would not be covered by the p'tur. So at the end of the day, Bein Levi Tais, Bein Levi Aran, there is such a cloud of Isaac mitzvah, p'tur mitzvah, as long as I'm, according to Tosfos, E.F. Shalakam Shneim, according to the Ran, I'm actively being involved in a mitzvah. I don't have to do mitzvahs, I don't have to do Kriya Shema. So let's say a person is involved, all of a sudden some great tzedakah project that's taking place right now, and he's running around and delivering whatever he's doing. So he doesn't have to stop what he's doing and then say Kriya Shema, because that's going to interfere. He won't be able to do both. Quantitize as well. He's doing action right now. So technically speaking, he's part of Isaac mitzvah, part of mitzvah. So in this spirit, the Gemara then has a further application of this call of Isaac mitzvah. Sometimes you can have a situation where a person is not actively really doing anything, but he's thinking about the mitzvah, and he's very arrogant, and he's very, very tarut at the mitzvah. So it's not classic Isaac mitzvah, but he's being tarut b'tirdas mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara requests. The Mishnah quotes in Maseches Brachos. That's the Ptur of Chasan. So the Gemara says, based on Psukim, that not only is an Isaac mitzvah potter, but a fellow who's a Torah detir this mitzvah is also potter. If a guy just stops sitting around thinking about plans of doing mitzvahs, that's very nice. Easy come, easy go. But if you're Torah in a mitzvah, you're mamash arangut, and you're thinking it's so much taking up your mind, and you can't really control yourself, so then that's also together the Ptur of Isaac mitzvah potter and mitzvah. That's what the Mishnah says, that a chosan is Torah detir this mitzvah, because he's getting married for the first time, he's marrying a psula, and he's thinking about the Rishayna, which is a bilas mitzvah, and he's not being able to concentrate on the mitzvah of kriyashma. So chosan potter b'kriyashma. So kozman that he hasn't been together with his wife after the chosan, he's potter from kriyashma for the first couple of nights. If it goes on for months on end, then he's not Torah anymore, but at the very, very beginning, after the chasana, so it's also mitzvah. We shed him right that we have a tradition that we don't invoke this kula bizman hazeh. And even though Me'ikra didn't, that's what the Mishnah says, that Torah tir this mitzvah, bilas mitzvah, is part of kriyashma, we shed him right, we don't like to invoke this kula, because that would almost give off the impression that we're such bali kavana the rest of the year. If a person says kriyashma with a zak kavana his whole life, and now comes the night of his chasan, he can't concentrate, so then Isaac mitzvah, the mitzvah. Anywhere at kriyashma says shvach o yolo. Every night, even when we're not getting married, we can't barely concentrate. The guy's thinking about his midterm, he's thinking about his finals, thinking about his date, he's thinking about that, I don't know what he's thinking about. So not such shal mitzvah necessarily. Maybe the date is done, shal mitzvah. Maybe the finals of shal mitzvah. And how good he's going to do in the final, whatever it is. So things it's hard for us to concentrate on the rest of the year, then we still say Krishma. So must have turned around and say that, no, I can't say Krishma tonight because it's Chmira Chosan. So that would be a little bit of a yura. That would be a little bit of a gaiva. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice from the Rishayim that we tell the Chassadim they should say Krishma. And even in the night, even the Balei Chasanosam, they should say Krishma nonetheless. Even though, again, beginning the Gemara, there would actually be Potter.
If someone was potter from Krishma, are they allowed to say Krishma?
So that's the machlekes, the Tanoim, the machlekes of Maseches Brachos, whether it's a good idea for the chosan to say it or not. So the Mishnah quotes the machlekes of Tanoim. One time it says that even though he was a chosan, he volunteered to say Krishma because he couldn't bear the thought of not being a kamal chashamayim. The other Tanoim said that's a shah mechzik yura. It's a gaiva thing. So again, for us, the gaiva doesn't apply anymore. The whole thing doesn't apply since we can't exempt ourselves from Krishma and allow Lachasana, because by doing so, that's going to indicate with such Bali Kavan all year long. We don't want to give off that impression. The Lamais, this thing doesn't really apply.
And what about if someone's actually doing a mitzvah, like someone's doing a Chesed organization, like whoever you're saying?
If
they're going to be able to stop doing that?
So again, if you hold like Taisvist, if it's actually Kaib Shneem, you should stop. In Shulchanach, we pass like the Ran. We pass that as long as you're Isaac right now, even though you could theoretically stop, you're not Mechut to stop. That if you happen to be involved right now and you have a few hour project, that you started, you had to get started, you had to do it now, and you're now in the middle of Rangitan and doing it, so then according to the Ran, you're not mechuyev to stop. The Ran concedes that if it's very, very easy to stop, then it's not going to be a big tirch at all, then it's the right thing to do to stop. The Ran writes in Sukkah, Niyais Tovel Tikarach, the Gemara in Sukkah in the second parak discusses about if a person got married right before Sukkot, now we're running Shema Brachos during the week of Sukkot, so the Gemara is a Shiloh where we should celebrate the Shema Brachos. So the Gemara says we should celebrate the Shema Brachos outside, because technically all the Bnei Chub, all the people who are participating in Simchas Chosan are potter, because Isaac permits a potter mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Why don't you just bring the whole party into the Sukkah? So the Gemara says, I can't do it. There's no room. It's not convenient. It's not shech. It won't be enjoyable in the Sukkah. It won't be able to be Sameach properly in the Sukkah. So the Ran asked the Kasha, why does the Gemara even ask the Kasha, let's bring the party into the Sukkah? Bishlam, according to Taisvis, the Gemara's Kasha was, Efshal Kam Shneim. We can do Simchas Chosan and Sukkah for the same price. But according to the Ran, who holds that you're part of even if you can do both, so why do we even waste that time asking the Kasha? So the Ran and Sukkah writes, no, that even though you're not Mechuyv to, but Miyais Tavat Tikra, if it's so, so easy to do without interfering, Kiyuzeh, it's not the right thing to do. But if it's going to interfere, that's what the Gemara's conclusion. It's not going to interfere, then maybe we won't do it. So back to that story. So along these lines of Isaac ben Mitzvah and Chosan, you have the other spectrum of the person's life. Achman Letzlan, you have a person who's Misha Mesa Mutlafana. If a close relative just passed away, we colloquially call such a person an Onain. The Rav pointed out that the term Onain is really an incorrect halachic term. The word onein in halacha refers to somebody in terms of uchus kachim and uchus ma'aseh sheni, someone whose relative died, and even after the kvura, as long as it's still the osa yom or maybe even osa laila, there's a din of an onein. Onein is not allowed to eat kachim and not allowed to be makav kachim and not allowed to Maisa Sheni. Then there's another halacha called Misha Mesa Mutlafanav, someone whose relative just passed away, and the kavura hasn't happened yet. That's not the einin of the Torah. The einin of the Torah means somebody died at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it could be the kavura already happened, but for the duration of that day, and according to someone to that night, so the person is an onen. Misha Mesa Mutlafanav means that somebody died and hasn't been buried yet. Once they're buried, the ois Misha Mesa Mutlafanav. So that phrase, Misha Mesa Mutlafanav, which is the third parak of Maseches Brachos, colloquially has taken on the term, we say the term onein. So the Rav said, the only reason why we call it onein is because it's shorter, it's easier to say. Since real aninos doesn't apply for us, because my sheni kachim doesn't apply for us, so there's no confusion. So it's just colloquially, it's become a shortened phrase, an onein, onein. But it's not really an onein. It's really emphasis is a misha meisim with lefanav. So this onein slash misha meisim with lefanav, the Mishnah says in the third bracket of Brachas, does not have to recite Kriyashma. Why not? So Rashi on the spot says, because Isaac b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah. Rashi learns that the reason why the einin is patur in Kriyashma is because he's Isaac in the mitzvah of Kvura. He's taking care of the tachrichim, taking care of the aron, the Kvura, etc. He's spadim, he's telling people about the mace, he's doing quite a things, the chavir mace. So he's an Isaac b'mitzvah. Isaac b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah. So you get the impression from Rashi that this p'tur of einin from Kriyashma, and for all mitzvahs for that matter, is not all that different than the chasa, not all that different than the chesed organization. It's based on the regular rules of icing mitzvah, patur mitzvah. So Tosfos on the spot at the beginning of the third bracha of brachos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos writes that the reason why the einin is patur is not just because of icing mitzvah, that's one reason, but there's a much bigger reason than that. That an onein is not allowed to do mitzvahs. It's an isra, it's an isra of the rabbanim to do mitzvahs. Why? Because that's like a bizayin ha-meis. Chazal misakin that we want the onein, we want the vein, we want the relatives to be involved in the tzarchei kvura. We don't want them to be doing other things. That's going to detract from the kavanah meis. And therefore, the rabbanon, it's not just a ptur for mitzvahs, but it's an isra l'kayem mitzvahs. That's what Taisa says. That an onein is not an option to do mitzvahs. It's an isra gomim with the rabbanon from to do mitzvahs. Because that would be a gross violation of kavanah meis. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like this, that an onein is not just potter because of Isaac b'mitzvah, an onein is actually not allowed to do mitzvahs, and again, the original mitzvah, the model, is the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Are there any exceptions to this rule? Any situations that arise where the quote-unquote onein is chayv mitzvahs and is supposed to say Shema? Is there any time where a relative just died and he is supposed to? So one example would be, let's say, in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says at the beginning of the third parak of Brachas that on Shabbos, so the Einin is clearly not Isaac in the Kvura. There's no Kvura taking place on Shabbos. And therefore, if there's no Kvura, so then it's doing mitzvahs. Number one, is not covered by Isaac in mitzvah Padma. It's not doing anything right now. And number two, it's not a lack of covenant mace, because the lack of covenant mace means you're supposed to be on the phone talking to the cemetery and you're deciding to go daven shacharis. So that's a bizoyin hamace. But if it's Shabbos at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not doing anything anyway. There's no kavur, there's no aron, there's no phone calls. So what kind of bizoyin hamace is that? So therefore, the Gemara says that on Shabbos, so the din of aninus are suspended. So the person passes away, let's say, a Friday late afternoon, and you couldn't get around doing the kavura. So the whole Shabbos, the person does go back to doing mitzvahs. And then the Motzai Shabbos, right after the Shabbos is over, then the aninus kicks in again. What about on Yom Tov? So here the Gemara differentiates whether you're going to do the kavura or not. Medin in the Gemara, you're allowed to do a kavura on Yom Tov Rishon, Ayedei Goyim, and on Yom Tov Sheni, Ayedei Yisrael. Most communities in America don't do this anymore. We don't have kavuras even on Yom Tov Sheni anymore. The reason being is that even though the Gemara Beitz Navav says explicitly you're allowed to have a kavura on Yom Tov Sheni, Chazal lifted the Yisur of Yom Tov Sheni for purposes of kavuras Aveis, but the Gemara says that if you live in a town where there are a lot of Amaratzim, so Chazal didn't want you to do that because the Amaratzim are going to see that, oh, the rabbis are driving to the funeral, rabbis are taking care of the funeral, rabbis are being Mechal Yom Tov. It must be the whole Yom Tov Sheni is a big joke and no one's going to listen to rabbis anymore. So Mishum Zilzul covered Yom Tov Sheni, Chazal said, the Ikra Din is Chazal lifted the prohibitions of Yom Tov Sheni b'machameis, but they also put in a break and said if you live in a place where there are a lot of Amaratzim, so you really shouldn't do that. You should really just push off the Kavura for a little longer. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he thinks that America qualifies as a place that we should push off the Kavura. He doesn't like having Kavuras in Yom Tov Sheni. Not everyone agreed to that. There are two notable communities that do kavuras until this very day. In the Broyers community, they still do kavuras in Yom Sheni b'zman hazeh, and with the cars and whatever has to be done. Again, a million people come. Whatever is necessary, l'chaver ameis. So you can take care of the aron techrichem. You can drive to the cemetery. Whatever is necessary, l'chaver ameis is permissible. And in the Satmar community, they do it as well. They don't follow they're not bound by Moshe's Pesach. They follow their own Rabban, who said that even in America, you can't. Could be that they feel that they're such a self-enclosed community that they can control it. Just because people are going to see them driving to the cemetery doesn't mean it's going to leave the Zilzel. So Sabra Adayim is that does Kavuras Shevi. Somebody told me recently that, I don't know if they themselves saw it, or after whatever it was, that the person who was driving the Arons, driving the hearse to a Satmar Levaya on Yom Sheni, it's a Chassidish fellow, dressed in his kapotno with his shtreibel, mamish dressed like his yomtiv, his yomtiv Sheni, he was driving the car, that's it. He says, I stay in the Gemara Beitz, above, the yomtiv Sheni kechol shavir rabbanon legadei and legabei meis. But again, most of our communities don't do this. So this impacts on Shilas for us. Let's say you would have a person passes away on Yom Tov, right before Yom Tov, Yom Sheni. So Lemaisa, we're not going to do the Kavura. So if you live in a community where they are going to do the Kavura, so that all the Dibra of Aninus kick in. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that on Yom Tov Sheni there is Aninus because you're going to do the Kavura. So Rabbi Meshi writes, but if you live in a place where you're not going to do the Kavura, I'm meaning in America, most places does not do the Kavura. So for us, Yom Tov Sheni is like Shabbos. So there's nothing for the relatives to do. So there's nothing to do. So the male, the dinner of Aninus doesn't apply. Aninus doesn't apply. The male of Kriyashma, the chiv of Kriyashma kicks back in again. Are there any other examples, any other situations where the dinner of Aninus wouldn't apply and therefore the chiv of Kriyashma would kick in again? So the Yerushalmi has a statement. Yerushalmi says that let's say a person dies and the mace was handed over to the katofim. It was handed over to the pallbearers. We were going to carry the mace on the shoulders. So then the aninus is over. Why? Because the krovim are done. They finished their job already. They handed the mace over to the katofim, asur the katofim. So then aninus is over, and then the chiyuv krishma mitzvah begins again. So there was a big question at the poskim whether the modern day equivalent of that is the calling of the chevah kedisha. What usually happens today is a person passes away, so then the chevah kedisha is alerted, and they pretty much take over everything. Most people don't do the regular people don't get involved in the order techrichim. Everything is done by the chevah kedisha. So since everything is done by the chevah kedisha, maybe that's like masarul katafim, and maybe all the dinner of aninus are over. So that would change halachas radically. That would mean that usually what happens, never a person dies within the first hour, the chevah kedisha is already involved. So that would already put the onanim out of aninus back at the chiyuv krishma. So it's usually assumed not that way for a variety of reasons. Again, we're not learning the intricacies of hilchos aninus right now. For a variety of reasons, that's probably not the case. One of the reasons that's pointed out is that even when we call the chevah kedisha today, there are still things that the oidinim do, still things that the relatives do. So even though the relatives are not literally digging the graves like in the old days, they're not sowing techrichim like they did in the old days, there are things that are still being taken care of. Very often the relatives are writing hespedim, very often the relatives are alerting relatives, very often the relatives are doing other kinds of things that are going to impact on the kavod ha'meis. And therefore, we want all focus to be on kavod ha'meis and no mitzvahs. That's what we generally, the custom is today. I remember when my father, Vashon, passed away. So we passed away late in the night. And the next morning, so I had already davened. I had already davened my before he passed away. But the next morning, Shachris, so I did not daven Shachris. Not for Phil, did not say Krishma, didn't do anything. And I remember at the time, so I was doing two things. I was still writing up my Hesped for Levaya that day. So I considered that was considered to be part of kavod ha'meis. And there was a relative, some cousin of my father's, so I knew my father would have wanted to be known, to come to Levaya, but I had lost contact already where the person was. I had to track down somebody else. So I was sitting on the computer and trying to Google somebody to try to track down somebody who knew somebody else, eventually find his relative, who I knew my father would have appreciated that this person would come to Levaya. So I remember thinking to myself, this is the modern day equivalent of a mace, trying to Google a stranger, trying to find a third person who knows somebody else to figure out to enhance the cover for my father. So in the days of Chazal, the relatives were digging graves and telling techrichim, we do things a little bit different. So whatever it is, a new world, but the same principle of cover mace still plays out even in the modern day era. Anyway, back to that story. So again, the basic mahalach is that whenever the relatives are involved in the tzurich hames or quasi involved, so that's called oisik mitzvahs, called the einin, and therefore the chiyuv of mitzvahs, particularly kriyashma, wouldn't apply. There is a big machlekes to be shown if you're a meditam and the rush about, let's say somebody loses a relative, but there are much, much closer relatives who are going to be osik. Let's say Reuven loses a sister. But the sister's married with children, so the husband and the children take care of everything. The brother's sitting 100 miles away, he's not doing anything. So is he an oisek the mitzvah? Is he an oinein? Is Misha basically with all of Kovrom? So Rabbi Natam said no. Tosis tells a story about Rabbi Natam. When Rabbi Natam's sister died, so Rabbi Natam did not observe the din of Aninus, because he said he lived in another town, Rabbi Natam says. It could be it was the Ri's mother. Rabbi Natam's sister was the Ri's mother. I don't know whether this was the same sister. Rabbi Natam is quoted by saying that even though his sister had just passed away, he lived 100 miles away, he had no shaykhs to do anything. He said that his sister has a husband and a child. They had sent him a letter and Pony Express to Rabbi Natam to them that his sister had died and she's going to be buried soon, whatever it was. And it was 100 miles away, it could be 2 miles away, but Rabbi Natam wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't doing anything. So Rabbi Natam said, he's not a nine-name. And the Rosh disagreed. The Rosh said, no, if you're one of the Shiva Kraven, you're an immediate relative, even though you're not mamish active, but you're on call, you're on reserve, you're also part of the Tzarech Yameis. So that's what the most poskim say. That's what the minig is today. Like the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, quotes the Rosh, and the Shach quotes Rabbi Natam, different opinions. I think that the Olam is knowing today that if you're a relative, you're an immediate relative, any relative is going to observe Shiva, so then that's considered to be an Einim. Sometimes you have a very, very unique situations where the Aninus may be put on hold. Very, very rare, strange kind of situations. But again, we're not learning the details of Aninus right now. We're really focusing on Kriyashma. So the bottom line is that Eisik B'mitzvah, Patur B'mitzvah, is a tour by all mitzvahs, and especially by Kriyashma. And you have a lot of different applications. You have classic Eisik B'mitzvah, you have Chosan, you have Einein, you have a lot of different applications. One of the things that makes Kriyashma so critical in terms of being Eitzim mitzvah, as we mentioned before, that if a person is a Torah, tier to the mitzvah, you can't expect him to say Kriyashma, because Kriyashma is not something you can do just quickly. It has to be something that you muster up the proper kavana. And if the person can't muster up the kavana, then he's not going to be Eitzim. So that really opens up the next part of our sugya for us, for hopefully Hashem will continue next week, about what do we mean by that? What role does Kavana have in Kriyashma? Just how much Kavana do you really need in Kriyashma in order to be Yotzei? So we'll talk a little bit about the different degrees, different types, and how much of Kriyashma requires Kavana. So we'll hopefully mention next week, we'll talk a little bit about that. Then I want to also talk a little bit, hopefully next week also, we'll talk a little bit about some unique situations that arise where a person may not be able to say Kriyashma, or the dinim of a person finds themselves in a place that doesn't smell right, a person in a place where people are not dressed appropriately. All of those dinim appear in Uchas Kriyashma. They're all in Orachayim Uchas Kriyashma, and they apply to other mitzvahs as well, but the source of all those sugyas of Lefnei Erva, Lefnei Tzoya, and all those kinds of things appear in Uchas Kriyashma. So hopefully next week we'll try to touch it, but come on and try to move on to those mitzvahs when we have time as well. Okay?